Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Bereishit with Rabbi David Levenkreuz. Rabbi David Levenkreuz is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Pardes Director of Special Programs. And now, Rabbi David Levenkreuz.
Thank you, Larry. One of the most fascinating things on reading the book of Iyov, chapter 38, Job, Lamed Chet, and no, I haven't forgotten which parasha it is that there are so many parallels to the creation story that you feel that the author of Job must have been reading and rereading Bereishit when they wrote the book of Job. Similarly, Yeshayahu, Isaiah, and Psalms Tehillim contain many, many passages which seem to echo or alter the creation story. What I'm going to do today, and for those of you who have the source sheet in front of you, it'll be very helpful to have a look at it. For the rest of you, I'll make sure that I'm being clear. What I'm going to do is look at Bereishit and different parallels that you have in the rest of the Tanakh, of the creation story, to try and understand what is going on over here. And could it be that in ancient Eretz Israel, for the ancients, there was not one, but two or perhaps even three stories about how God created the world? And I'm going to ask the question, what meaning and may this have for us today in our own lives? Early on in Bereishit, God says, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. In Iyov, this is asked as a question, what is the way to the abode of light? How do I get to the place where light lives? And where does darkness live? Can you take me to their places? This is Iyov 38, 19-20. Do you know the path to their dwellings? Whereas in Bereishit, it is absolutely clear that God created the light and the darkness. In fact, God created light and darkness just is. In Iyov, light and darkness have their own existence. And in fact, it's emphasized that God created darkness and it is bad. Already here, we have a presentation of a very different kind of creation story and a very different kind of a world. Whereas in Bereishit, darkness perhaps just the absence of light. Here, darkness has its own power, and that power is not necessarily good. In Bereishit 1:4, we saw that God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. In Yeshayahu 45:7, we said in the famous passage, I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. This is actually, again, an echo of what we saw before. God creates light. God creates darkness. God brings prosperity. God creates disaster or evil. Here it's a much darker world, a world in which evil seems to have its own existence rather than the very pretty God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. Later on, in Bereishit, God calls the light day and calls the darkness night, as opposed to Yov 38, where God shouts at people and says, have you ever given orders to the morning or show the dawn its place, that it may take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? Over here, what it appears, and this is very important, is that morning and dawn and everything else somehow presuppose God. This is before God. Whereas in Bereishit, God is calling and God is creating. Over here, God is giving orders to what already exists. And it even seems as if it has evil in it and something inherent in it. Later on in Bereishit 6:7, God says that there should be something to separate between the waters. It was so God is creating the Rakia. And this is echoed in Tehillim in 74, where it says, where the psalmist says, it was you who set the boundaries of the earth. You made both summer and winter. And Iyov says, who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Tehillim is recognizing what God did. Iyov is speaking of God not as the creator, but God as the dimension maker. God as the setter of boundaries, God who works with what is already is. The same thing is seen in Bereshit 7, where God separates the water above from the water beneath. In Iyov, God is setting a channel for the torrents of the rain and a path for the thunderstorm to water a land where no person lives. Bereshit is about what God wanted. Iyov is very, very, very much about God, the great God, coming to a place that is messed up and creating order. This comes even more powerfully, this idea, in the last two quotes, which are very, very dramatic. In fact, Bereshit seems almost, certainly very pastoral, but even a little bit bland compared to the excitement of Iyov. God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry land appear." As opposed to Iyov, who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst birth from the womb. Listen to what's happening. The sea's behind doors. It's bursting from the womb. These are images of the sea being so strong, of it outgrowing where it is. "When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness." What is God doing? God is making clouds to be the garment for the sea. "When I fixed limits for it and set its door and bars in place, when I said, 'This far you may come and no further, here is where your proud waves halt.'" God is not the creator of the waves. God is not the creator of the sea. God is the one who stops the waves, as opposed to the very simple explanation in Bereshit, the origin legend. Here we have something that is detailed and complex. Similarly, when God in Bereshit creates living creatures, God creates all the living creatures, including every winged bird. God creates every type of living thing, including the sea monsters. Whereas in Tehillim 74, 13 to 15, we read, "It was you," speaking about God, "who split open the sea by your power. You broke the heads of the monster in the waters. It was you who crushed the heads of the Leviathan and gave him as food to the creatures of the earth. It was you who opened up springs and streams. You dried up the ever-flowing waters." In Bereshit, God created the Leviathan, God created the big scary things. Whereas Tehillim, God has to fight against it. God has to destroy the big scary things. Most modern scholars believe today that there was an original story common in the ancient world of a God who came and who created order out of chaos, a God who had to fight against the sea and had to fight against animals, and that our life is always tremendously precariously placed between two different forces, the force of the good God and the force of those fighting against it. And what they see is they see Bereshit 1 as being a polemic against that idea, a polemic saying, no, God is ultimate, God is all-controlling, and God create everything. So in Bereshit, we have a discrete creation that has a beginning and an end, whereas in Iyov, this is ongoing, and God is controlling what is already there. Bereshit is mythic and descriptive, whereas Iyov is scientific and adventurous. In Bereshit, I would say we have the God of power, the God of absolutes, but in Iyov, it's much, much more the God of physics, the God of working what is there, the God trying to make sense of what is. Perhaps most importantly, though, in Bereshit, the climax of the story is people. The climax of the story is the creation of human beings, whereas in Job, human beings are just part of a bigger picture. Again, it sounds a lot more like modern evolution than Bereshit does. We are being addressed. We are even being shouted at. So what we have over here is two powerful visions. Many biblical scholars believe that what was happening over here is that Bereshit was the story that the Torah would like us to believe, but that these other stories remained and somehow found their way into our literature through Yeshayahu, Tehillim, and Iyov. I would like to suggest that it is much, much more useful to accept both of these as two different stories that our Tanakh has, and I think it has very, very powerful messages for us. There are things that we control, things that are absolute and that are good and bad, And much of our life is about that. Going and in situations, creating things, doing things. On the other hand, there are times that we're like the God creator in Iyov or in Tehillim or in Yeshayahu, where we have to make the most of what is there, where we live in a life that is full of darkness and lack of clarity, and our aim is to put boundaries and to set things in place and to do as best we can. In fact, some people, many people, understand the machloket, the debate between Hillel and Shammai this way. It's not that Hillel was strict and Shammai was lenient. It wasn't that Shammai was the Grinch that stole Christmas and Hillel was the nice, sweet one. But Shammai was, let's create the perfect world here and now. Shammai is the God of Bereshit. Shammai's God is the God of Bereshit. Whereas Hillel was given the world the way it is, how do we bring God into it? Hillel's God is the God of Tehillim, of Iyov, and of Yeshayahu. The trick, ladies and gentlemen, is knowing when to be the God of Bereshit and when to be the God of Psalms, Job, and Isaiah. That is the challenge for all of us. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levin Cruz. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.